And as you're turning, just a word of thanks from myself and Raylene for the beautiful card, the kind words, and the gift last Sunday for Pastor Appreciation Day. You are all a blessing to us, and we consider it a joy to serve along with you. And we love you, love the fact that God, and are grateful for the fact that God has called us here to worship God in this place. And Larry, if you'd go back, and would you be able to do the PowerPoint, or is Bob doing it? Bob doing it. Okay, very good. And those are like old school, you can look in your Bibles. Those are like new school, you can watch on PowerPoint this morning. But the topic that we're speaking about these next few weeks, actually it'll be a while before we get through this one rather long sermon, is knowing Christ. And the basic theme of this series of messages is this. Number one, God can be known. We can know God. And number two, God wants us to know Him. Let's read our text together and let's jump into the message this morning. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And we thank you for the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. God, this morning as we look to your word, we once again pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be with us. May you give words to this, your speaker today, and may you give us all the ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us through your word. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. When I think about knowing Jesus, and the question some of you might have today, depending on where you are at in your knowledge of God and your knowledge of God, is how do I get to know Jesus, and how do I know Jesus in a greater way? And of course, for many of us, or for all of us who have a relationship with Jesus, it begins when you first invite Him to come into your life and forgive you of every sin, and you make Him the Lord and the ruler of your life, or you become born again. That's the beginning of your journey to know God. Now, knowing God, when you accept Christ into your life, it's the beginning of a wonderful relationship, the best relationship that you'll ever have, not only in this life, but most importantly, the life that is to come. And one of the things that helps us understand our relationship with Jesus is not one of the most intimate relationship that we have here on earth with another human being. That's a relationship between a husband and wife. Now, a lot of times, especially in fairy tales or old children's stories, whether it be Cinderella or I'm trying to think of some of those other stories where there's the fair damsel in distress and she's saved by, you know, Prince Charming, whoever, who is it? Beauty, and you know, something like that. And someone, you know, the guy comes in. And then at the end of the story, after the damsel is rescued, they get married. And they live happily ever after. And we think of marriage that way when we're looking forward to marriage, that we're going to get married and live happily ever after. But I think if we truly understand what marriage is, at least what God intended it to be, it's the beginning of a beautiful relationship where you discover more about the other individual every other day. And so as you discover more about them, you grow to love them more and deeper each and every day. And that, in a great way, describes our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you invite him into your life, it's the beginning of learning to know him in a greater way each and every day, and thus gaining a greater appreciation of him. Some of the things that we talked about last week in our introduction to this series of messages regarding knowing Christ is the fact that God knows you better than any living individual that there is on this earth. God knows your joys, your sorrows. He knows your fears, your successes, the things that make you happy, the things that make you sad. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses, your frustrations, your disappointments, your hopes, and your dreams. In fact, not only does God know you better than your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, your spouse, God knows you better than you know yourself. And let me tell you, I have found more about myself as I've pressed in to know God in a greater way. Not only the bad things that I need to clean up about myself, and there are still things that places that I need to grow and change in, but I've also learned as I serve Jesus Christ that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And some of you can say the same thing. You've been pleasantly surprised as you have grown in Christ and in your knowledge of Christ at how many things that you can do through Christ. And God lets us know these things as we grow in him. We talked about how great people of God in Scripture, their primary desire wasn't to do great things for God, although they did some mighty and great things. Their greatest desire was to know God as wonderful as they did know him in an even greater and more personal way. The chief example that we had from last week and that we shared just a few moments ago was from the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, our text this morning is from the book of Philippians, which was written towards the latter part of Paul's life when actually at the end of the book of Acts, where he had been in prison because he had been serving God. And, you know, he literally, when he says he lost all things, he literally lost everything because he was in prison. And the chiefest desire that he had in this life, despite the fact that he was an apostle, despite the fact that God had used him to do great and mighty things, to preach the gospel, to lead many people to Jesus, to pray for people and people would get healed, to have incredible revelations of not only who God is, but also of what God was doing and what God was going to do even through the end of time. Paul had an incredible knowledge of those things. The deepest desire that Paul had in his heart and his life is that he would know God as wonderful and as personal and as powerfully as he knew God, that he would know God in a greater way. And God's desire is that every one of his disciples has that insatiable hunger to know him more. So the question that we're left with this morning is, how do we know God? What does it mean to know God in a greater way? Because as we mentioned just a few moments ago, when you accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you know him. You've been introduced to him. But as I mentioned before, let me say it once again because it bears repeating. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's just the beginning of a lifetime of discovery of how great God is and how much he loves you. And every day, if you press in to know God in a greater way, more than you did the day before, God will reveal more of himself to you because that's his will and that's his desire. So what does it mean to know Christ? And to be honest with you, to talk about this is a topic that is as broad as it is long. And so I think the best place to start is to actually ask ourselves, what does it really mean to know someone? Now, if I could go back to the marriage relationship and this morning, and my wife's not here in this service. She usually comes to the 8 o'clock service. But she knows what I'm going to say, so it's okay. But one of the things that, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, not quite as much as the Lord, but the person, and I talked about this last week, the person who knows me the best in this whole planet is my wife. We've been married 29 years. She knows me about as good as I know myself. In fact, I mentioned this last week. She knows when I'm, full of baloney. She can call me out on that. One of the things about Christ and this aspect of knowing someone is that you understand them or you get them. How many here have ever just wanted someone to really get who you are as a person? That's something that's been absent in your life. One thing I appreciate about my wife is she gets me, especially, and those of you who know me a little bit better know that I have kind of a unique sense of humor. I'll just put it that way. And one of the things I love about my wife is she gets that about me. In fact, sometimes I'll make a little joke. In fact, at a Christmas party one year here at the church, and I made up this little game, and in this game, I put in a little inside family joke. And no one got it except my wife. And after I said this joke, which nobody got because, it was one of those family things. You know what I'm talking about. I started laughing. She started laughing. And my daughter, who was there, she also started laughing. We just burst out laughing. We couldn't stop. It was, and everybody thought we were just weird. But it was just, she got my sense of humor. She gets me. And that's one thing about the love of God. Let me tell you something about the love of God. He gets you. He understands you. There might be nobody in this world who truly gets you. They think you might not feel you fit in anywhere. Let me tell you, there's one place that you do fit in, or you can fit in if you don't know Jesus, and that's the kingdom of God, because he gets you completely. He understands you. But as far as knowing God, God wants us to get him or to know him or to understand him. Specifically, two ways. I'm going to be jumping a little bit, Bob, on some of these scriptures. Two ways. Number one, what he's all about or his essence or his nature. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 20. He's saying this regarding false teachers, but we can apply it to everyone, including God. By their fruits you shall know them. And what he means by that, you know the kind of person they are by what they do. Let me tell you something about the nature of God, which many, if not all of you, understand. God wants to be known, and from the dawn of creation, God was revealing himself and continues to reveal himself to us so that we would know him. And one of the chief ways, one of the elemental ways, the initial ways that people can understand God is through the beauty of creation. Isn't, for me, one of the most beautiful times in the world, if not the most beautiful time of the year, is the fall. I love the fall. And one of the reasons I love fall is because I love driving through, especially in New England, and thank God, God called me to New England. I was born here, and God called me back here. Because I love driving, especially up through the Berkshires or other areas. I love seeing the beauty of the trees, especially in the mountains. No painting can do it justice. And the book of Romans chapter 1 tells us there's a reason why this world is so both beautiful and awesome. It's not just beautiful. I mean, the mountains are awesome, and some of you, I'm sure, have seen some awesome sights like the Grand Canyon or perhaps Victoria Falls in Africa or something. Awesome, mighty things. What does it show us? According to the Word of God, God made the world as it is to reveal his divine nature and his supreme power. God wants us to get him or to understand who he is. He's a God of might. He's a God of power. God has given every single living human being a conscience. You don't have to tell people that killing is wrong, or stealing is wrong, or lying is wrong. They know that even people whose hearts or consciences are hardened or seared, they know it's wrong because they try to hide those things. There's a reason why all of us have that human voice of conscience in our hearts. It's because God put it there to let us know He is a moral God or a righteous God. And that's important for us to know because we know that God is good and that God will just, you know, just won't destroy us or torture us or do evil things because He is evil. We can only expect good from God. In fact, that's what the word God comes from, is good. He is good. But also the expectation there is upon His creation, us, to be good as well. And, you know, we'll talk about that. And then there is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is not only a God of might and of power. God is not only a God of righteousness or goodness or morality. But God is also a God of love, as demonstrated by supreme sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. God is revealing Himself. He always has, and He always will, till man's dying breath, reveal everything there is about Himself to mankind. So knowing Christ is understanding who God is. It's also being able to recognize God. I referenced John chapter 10 this morning, and Jesus, in comparing Himself to the Good Shepherd, and He is our leader and our shepherd, and desires not only to lead us, but to protect us and to care for us and to nurture us, just as a shepherd does their sheep. And He says, "My sheep know My voice." God not only wants us to know that He exists and His essence and His nature, but God also wants us to know His voice and wants us to be able to recognize Him, to know who God is, but also when God is speaking. Because let me tell you, there are many, many voices that are out in the world today that are trying to masquerade themselves as God and persuade you away from serving Jesus, or if you don't know God, accepting Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. Jesus says, robbers and thieves, His sheep won't follow because they don't recognize Him. They'll only follow the voice of the Master. God wants us to know Him, to know His voice, which is manifested or shared with us in two ways. Number one, through His written word. We know God because we know the voice of God because God painstakingly throughout time has given us this message of His love in this wonderful book called the Bible. A book that is so wonderful, He has exalted it along with His name because Jesus is the Word. This is the essence of who Jesus is, the Word of God. But we also have it as far as the voice of God, not only the Word of God, we also have the still, small voice of His Holy Spirit. Remember, coming to Jesus is the beginning of a relationship. And one of the things that marks a healthy relationship, and God wants to have a healthy relationship with each and every one of us, is dialogue, is conversation. And God is a God who speaks. Not only through His written word, and we could spend a whole message on this morning, but also through the still small voice of His Holy Spirit. One of my favorite scriptures, which I share, I don't want to say too much, because you can't share scripture too much, but I share it a lot, is from Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, or speaks to our spirit, that we are the children of God. He walks with us and He talks with us all the day through, as the old hymn says, because Scripture says it too. And those who know God and who are walking in His Spirit testify to the fact that God is a very real and present presence in our lives. Not power, not force, but presence, because he is a person. So knowing his voice and being well, if not intimately acquainted with him. That word know is also used in reference to the relationship between man and woman in the context of holy matrimony. And we think of that, of course, we think of intimacy in a physical sense, but is not marriage so much more than that? Spouses, especially those of you who have been married to your spouse for many, many years, do you not know your spouse almost as well, if not better, than you know yourself? You know what they like, you know what they don't like, you know how they'll react. You know them. In fact, one of the things about me and my wife, I don't know if this is actually from the reaction I get when I share this, I think a lot of married couples this happens to, we'll be together and we'll hear someone say something or see something happen and we'll react to it verbally using the same exact words. The same words come out of our mouth at the same time. We're literally becoming the same person. So we know each other well. We know exactly how we're going to react to things. In fact, I know how to avoid things that my wife doesn't like and do things my wife does like, which I do more when I want to do. No, I'm just kidding. So it is with God. He knows us so well. We would know him so well. We would know his ways. And knowing God just doesn't know his nature, his essence, but also how God moves. Jesus saying in Luke chapter 12, verse 56, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? You know the heart, the will, and the plans of God. Well, like any relationship, there are primarily three ways that we know, that we're called, and not just called, we have the privilege of knowing God or increasing our relationship with Jesus. One of which we'll get to today, and we'll get through the other two, Lord willing, next week. But they're listed for us in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And what Paul's doing here, Paul, in our text, he says, I want to know Christ. This is my desire. And he wasn't saying this desire to know God in a deeper way, in a more intimate way, is just for me because I'm an apostle. Actually, at the beginning of the book, as he first, and what Philippians is, it's a letter to a church to encourage them in their walk of faith towards Jesus. And it wasn't just towards them, it's to us today. It was his will that they would share this to know God more intimately. And the reason why he was sharing that, it's because he was sharing the heart of God. God knows us so much, and he wants us to know him. Let me just stop right here. Why does God want us to know him? I hope this isn't the case, but I think every marriage, some more so than others, goes through this time. Friend, absolutely, goes through these periods in our relationship where I wish my spouse was more concerned about knowing me, knowing who I am, and understanding me, especially when maybe going through a tough time. I won't ask for hands, but in a relationship, have you ever felt that way? It may not have been a marriage. It may have been a friendship. You know, I wish they were concerned more about me. That's the heart of God towards us. I know you so much, and I want you to know me so much. And that's for everyone. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Three areas, just in this one scripture. There's probably more, but these are the ones we're going to look at in these series of messages. Number one, knowing his love in a greater way. Amen? And let me tell you, I'm just sharing my own personal example. I have a greater appreciation today of how much God loves me than the first day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And let me even share with you why. When you first accept Christ, Christ forgives you of every sin, and you want to make a change in life. And you do the best you can. But if you're anything like me, and I'm sure you all are, you make mistakes along the way. And the human way of thinking when we sin against someone is, if I do something or say something against someone, they're going to hate me. They're going to hold it against me. And the reason oftentimes we think that is because that's the way we react towards people. But God's love is so much greater than that. I'm not saying that God gives us a pass on sin. What I am saying regarding love, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a few moments, is the reason why I appreciate the love of God so much more today than I first began serving Jesus is that God's love has never ceased even for me. And it can't get any better because it's supreme or unknowable, unfailing. Even when I fail him, God still loves me just as much. He's still willing to forgive. He still uses me. Even though I failed him time and time and time again, God continues to forgive. God continues to strengthen. God continues to encourage. And God continues to use. His love has never changed. So knowing him and his love in a greater way, knowing his holiness in a greater way. And let me tell you, there are two sides to this. That we're not going to get into holiness today, but with holiness comes hope. Amen? We'll find out exactly how next week. And knowing him and his righteousness. And let me tell you, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accept Jesus, the word righteous becomes so different and so much better because it's not an issue of shame or guilt. It's an issue of hope and of faith. But let's concentrate this morning on knowing God deeper in his love. How much does God love us? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. What do you think of when someone lavishes something on you? When I lived in Illinois, we had some friends of ours that were farmers. And they would ask us over for lunch. Now, lunch for us at our home is usually a sandwich, a little pile of chips, and maybe an apple or a brownie or something. And I'm not exaggerating this morning. Lunch for them was a five-course meal. You see, usually had meatloaf, and then like an Alfredo, and then vegetable, and then potato, and then usually a big dessert. And let me tell you, I can eat. And in fact, Jim used to say, his name was Jim. He used to just like watching me eat because I could really shovel it down. In fact, when I hate saying this. When I lived there, I weighed, what should I weigh now? I weighed probably close to 40, 50 pounds heavier than I am now, believe it or not. And and eating over there didn't help any. They were wonderful people. They just lavished it on you. It wasn't measly, portion where, oh honey, let's go out and get something to eat. I'm still starving. It was too much. And such is the love of Christ, demonstrated two ways this morning. Two things that we think of. Number one, in what he went through, so that we can have this relationship with him. Which was what? He gave his life. He paid the ultimate price. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life, but it was not a quick and merciful death. It was a merciless death that Jesus experienced to purchase our salvation. Beaten, bruised, whipped, nailed to a cross, exposed, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, all that we might be forgiven and have life and life to the full. That's how much God loves us. He gave his life for us to grant not just forgiveness, but as this verse shares with us, to grant us sonship, daughtership, where we now become part of his family. And what is the what differentiates family from every other relationship? It's that beautiful four-letter word we call love. We are in a love relationship with Jesus. And he lavishes it upon us. And as we grow in God, and as I mentioned, what I spoke about earlier, I actually plan to share at this point, it's a knowledge that we increase every day as we serve God, that God, despite our weaknesses, our frailties, and our failures, continues to move upon us. It's according to the Word of God, renewed each and every day. It never ceases. Despite the fact that you might fail him, he still loves you. And he demonstrates it by forgiving you, restoring you, renewing you, and continuing to use you in spite of yourself. I don't know about you, but I think that's a wonderful thing to praise God for this morning. Hallelujah! Don't ever think it's a lie of Satan that because you messed up, God is through with you. If you messed up, God doesn't love you anymore. Or because you messed up, God will never, ever use you again. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because it's the antithesis of the message of grace. God's abiding, unfailing love and forgiveness. It's fully accepting. And it's also completely transformative in that Not only do I sense the love of God in my failures, but as I alluded to earlier in the message, I see it as I grow in God's grace and God's knowledge, amen? And becoming more like Jesus. And believe me, I'm not standing here this morning and saying, I have finally made it. I have not made it. And if you spend any time with me, you'll see areas that I still continue need to grow in Christ. But I hope at least you see because, and I say this humbly, I've seen changes in my life over time. And they're testimonies of God's love and grace in my life. There's a way to determine whether or not that we as followers or disciples of Jesus are increasing in our knowledge of the love of God or knowing God's love in a greater way in our lives. The next chapter in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, gives us insight as far as what that is. John writes, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." How do we know if we're knowing God in a greater way? That I'm, you know, Paul, I'm getting closer, but I haven't reached there yet. How do we know that we are increasing in the knowledge of the love of God? And the answer is this, is the love of God being played out in our lives and our thinking. And what I mean by that, it's not only understanding that I'm forgiven, I'm a brand new person in Jesus. God loves me. God's watching over me. We'll talk about some of these things weeks to come. But as wonderfully and as powerfully as God loves me, God loves every single living individual on this planet, great or small, rich or poor, male or female, whatever walk of life, God. This is demonstrated in two ways. Number one, it's demonstrated in the dynamics of the church, which is the family of God. Because two things happen when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Number one, you have a brand new Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen? We're His child, and we think of that. But something else happens. All of a sudden, you get millions in a moment, instant family. Millions of siblings. Now, how many of you who have brothers and sisters, how many of you was it all kumbaya and singing songs and happy with your brothers and sisters growing up? stand up. There may be some. And the family of God is just like any other family. There are disagreements, misunderstandings. But if we're growing in the knowledge of the love of God, There's something that overrules our misunderstandings or our mistakes or even our wounds, and that is love demonstrated by forgiveness. And you can tell if you're growing in the love of God, if you're growing in forgiveness and acceptance and grace towards your other brothers and sisters in Jesus, whom we expect more from than people outside. But secondly, we share, if we're growing in God's love and the understanding of God's love, Paul also says in chapter 2, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And we have the same heart of love towards those who don't know Christ as Lord and as Savior. Briefly, three things about that. I know I've been long this morning. Three things. Number one, we're consumed for their eternal soul, that we spend time crying, quality time, crying out to God for their soul, for people that we, especially people that we know who know Jesus, but even people that we don't know, people we just, you know, do we see people walking down the street? Do we think in our hearts, does this person actually know Christ? Are they ready to meet Jesus? Are they ready to face eternity? Number two, because we love them, we're doing everything in our power to share Jesus with them. And number three, and I think this is really the kicker when it comes to whether or not we are truly growing in the love of God. In the time of Jesus, the time that Jesus lived, just like any other time, just like right now, there were no outcasts in society in the eyes of God. There were no second-class citizens. Now, in the eyes of man, there were plenty of second-class citizens. During the time of Jesus, lepers, sinners, prostitutes, publicans, cheats, liars, sick people. Isn't that terrible? You know, the story, how many remember the story of blind Bartimaeus, who cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He couldn't see. He's crying out to Jesus. And the people who were following Jesus, what were they doing? Read the story. They were telling him to shut up, literally. Shut up. Leave him alone. Then Jesus said, bring him to me, and all of a sudden, oh, he wants to see you. You know, complete change. The eyes of God, there are no second-class citizens. Jesus, no matter who they were, no matter what they were into, treated every, even Judas himself, treated every single living human being with respect. You want to gauge whether or not you're growing the knowledge of the love of God in your life. How well do you show respect to man? There are no outcasts in God's eyes. Everyone is His creation, and so He values each one equally with the same amount of love and care and concern because they're His creation. With how much respect do you treat whom society labels as outcasts in society? That's a good measure to test whether or not you truly are growing the knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Henry, if you would come this morning. Two things in closing before we stand and close the message this morning and sing a song of commitment before we pray together as a church. And that is this. Number one, my heart breaks for the person who might be here today who thinks because you haven't been as faithful as you think you should have been. Let me tell you, no one's as faithful as they could be. Starting with me. God loves you anyways. Don't ever think for a moment that God, and you know this, you know that God hasn't stopped loving you, but you've believed the lie of the enemy that says God loves you less because you haven't been faithful. He can't love you less. He loves you the same, an everlasting love. And if you turn to Him today, you know, you've kind of been like Adam hiding from Him. If you turn to Him today, He'll surround you with His love because His love has never stopped. Make a commitment to grow in His love so you never fall into that place of condemnation and despair because Jesus died so you don't have to live there anymore. Amen? But secondly, and this is important, number one, because it pleases God, but it's important for the world. It's important we get along as a church. Don't get me wrong. You need to love. And you've got unresolved issues. You need to get more of the love of God in you so that you can forgive your brother and sister. The church really needs to treat everyone with dignity. The world's not seeing that. And the world needs to see it in us, because that's how Jesus lived. And one of the most godly people in modern times is a woman named Corrie ten Boom. If you hadn't read her story, The Hiding Place, it's outstanding. But her and her sister, they gave their lives to the caring of children who had disabilities and things. And the Nazis didn't understand it. Why do you waste your time? And there was a reason. They had the love of God in them, so they couldn't help but, you know, kids who had, you know, different deformities of body or of mind, they couldn't help but do that because that's who they were. That's who her and her sister Elizabeth, that's who they were in Jesus. And it was a testament. In fact, one of the Nazis who was there in that city, and I believe Hungary, would talk to her often about that because he just couldn't conceptualize caring for them. You treat others with dignity and respect. The more you understand the love of Jesus, know the love of Jesus personally to your heart, you have a greater appreciation for others. And it'll keep you, but it'll also win others in the name of Jesus. Let's stand. Henry, if you lead us this morning.